Chapter 9. Wanted Worshippers. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verses from memory, define worship, explain what it means to worship in spirit, explain what it means to worship in truth, summarize three reasons why we worship, explain the pattern of worship, list five results of worship, identify five types of worship, give a scripture reference which explains how to prepare for worship, explain when we are to worship, explain where we are to worship. Key verses, John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Introduction. The restoration of God's mobilizing presence will come through worship. God wants worshipers. In this chapter, you will continue your study of worship, learning the definition of worship and related words. You will learn what it means to worship in spirit and truth, and why, when, and where to worship. You will learn the pattern of worship, how to prepare for worship, and the types and results of worship. In the next lesson, you will learn how to worship God as you worship in spirit and in truth. Definitions. To worship means to do reverence, to kiss, do homage towards, revere, stand in awe of, show devotion, bow down, and honor. Worship is the acknowledgement of God, his nature, attributes, ways, and claims, whether by giving praise or doing a deed of acknowledgement by Christian service. To serve also means to worship. Worship means to attribute worth to someone. It is an act of response to God whereby we declare his worth, celebrate him, and boast in his name. Worship is not an art form because God will not share his glory with an art form. It is not liturgy, creeds, rituals, vain repetitions, or copying a set order of service week after week. Worship is not distracted endurance for a sermon, mumbling prayers or mouthing hymns with little thought and maybe less heart. In worship, you express in some scriptural manner what you feel in your heart. Worship is not a mood, it is a response. It is not just a feeling, but a declaration. It is not passive, but participative. Worship is occupation with a person that is overflowing from within with an outpouring expressed in devotion and duty. Here are some other words related to worship in Scripture. Thanks. To give thanks means to acknowledge, express gratitude, celebrate, and confess. Praise. Praise means commendation. The Bible describes praise occurring in many ways. One of these is to twitch or twang as you do a stringed instrument. Praise includes singing psalms and praise, confessing, blessing, celebrating, boasting of, shouting, and jubilation. Actually, the word praise has eight different meanings. Two meanings are very interesting. They are to release before the Lord and to be clamorously foolish. Glorify. To give honor to, rank, beauty. Honor, to exalt, show preference to. Magnify, to ascribe greatness, glorify. The relation of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. There is not a sharp dividing line between praise, worship, and thanksgiving. As you worship, you can flow easily from one to another, as demonstrated in the Book of Psalms. Technically, however, there is a difference between the three. Thanksgiving focuses on what God has done. The Bible says, "Forget not all his benefits, things he has done for you." Praise focuses on God, who he is, and his characteristics. One way to praise God is to focus on his names and attributes. Just as there was a prescribed way to enter the Old Testament tabernacle, there is a proper way for you to enter God's presence. You enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. You move towards the destination of his presence by thanksgiving and praise. As you praise, you build a spiritual place for God to come down and inhabit. Then you can worship him in spirit and truth. Worship is your ministry to God. Many of us are preoccupied with ministering for God by preaching, teaching, training, etc. But your most important ministry is to minister to God through praise and worship. Preliminary comments. Worship presupposes that God exists and that he can be made known by man. The Bible teaches that praise and worship is to be both public and private. The real factor in worship is a heart desire for God. The reason worship fails to occur in the pew is because it fails to occur in the daily routine of living. Those who really worship in corporate church services are those who enter to do publicly what they have already done privately. Worship is the result of a lifestyle of worship, not a cleverly planned corporate worship hour. Praise and worship is not a mass function. It is the response of individuals to God. When we unite in praise, we blend into a group response, but every expression comes from a separate individual. Your response does not have to be affected by another's lack of response. You can praise the Lord regardless of the pattern of those around you. Sing it, share it, show it, shout it, strum it, but start it. It is a characteristic of the last generation to be unthankful and to have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. This is why we need teaching on worship. Worship must be controlled by your will, not your emotions. If you truly believe God is in control of your life, you can rejoice. The Bible says it is the will of God to give thanks in every situation. See 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Praising God continually is God's command for New Testament Christians. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Most of us are conditioned to being led in worship. God says, you enter and you offer a sacrifice of praise. In many nations, their constitution guarantees freedom of worship. Sometimes believers are more citizens than Christians. They think they have the freedom to choose how and when they worship. But the Bible is very specific about worship. Spirit and truth. According to the key verse of this lesson, in order for worship to be acceptable, it must be done in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? John 4:33 and 34 is related to another verse in Matthew. Jesus told the religious leaders of his time in Matthew 22:29, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." The scriptures reflect the truth of our worship. The power of God reflects the spirit of our worship. Just as the scriptures and the power of God are necessary for proper understanding of spiritual things, the spirit and truth are necessary for acceptable worship. In order to understand what Jesus was saying about worship, let us examine the situation in which he made this statement. Turn to John 4 in your Bible. The biblical text. It was not necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria to his destination, but he said he needed to go that way. He had a divine appointment to keep. Jesus was resting by a well while his disciples went into the city to buy food when a woman came to draw water. She was obviously poor materially since she had no servant to draw the water for her. But she was even poorer spiritually. Jesus immediately eliminated the barriers which would prevent her from receiving spiritual help from him. We must also eliminate racial, cultural, denomination, and theological barriers and personal prejudice in order to bring spiritual water to a thirsty world. Jesus dealt with each of these in his conversation with this woman. Jesus told the woman, "If thou knewest," in John 4:10. You must worship from a position of knowing. We will comment more on this when we discuss truth later in this lesson. Knowledge, truth, results in understand who the Lord really is and leads to worship. Jesus said, if you knew, you would ask. Knowledge, or truth, always requires response. Our responsibility is to ask. His response is to give. The woman told Jesus, you have nothing to draw with to give me this water. She was viewing things in the natural, visible world only. She was concerned because there was nothing to draw with when the source of the living water was right there with her. Like this woman, many of us focus on the impossibilities of life when we are in the presence of this miracle worker. The life Jesus gives results in worship. It is spiritual water that quenches your thirst by springing up from deep inside your spirit. But there were other barriers Jesus had to eliminate before this woman could receive this spiritual life flow and respond in true worship. The woman asked Jesus, are you greater than our father Jacob? Here was a cultural barrier of natural relationships which Jesus had to eliminate before worship was acceptable. Later on, he dealt with worship traditions. Tradition and culture are two of the greatest barriers to worshiping in spirit and truth. Jesus addressed the fact that the woman had been dissatisfied in her relationships with seven men. She had been trying to fill the spiritual void within her by natural relationships, verses 15 to 19. Always remember that nothing can replace worship. You will be frustrated in natural relationships, your personal life, and your church until you become a true worshiper. True satisfaction does not even come through ministry. Remember what Jesus said to Martha, who was busy doing things for the Lord. He said Mary had chosen the better ministry of sitting in his presence. It is better to worship than work, to sit than to serve. Jesus was dealing with this woman's spiritual condition, but she changed the conversation to a theological subject. You also may find this happening when you deal with people regarding spiritual matters. Jesus said the Samaritans worshiped with spirit, but with no truth. Verses 19 to 24. In the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, when the Samaritans were not allowed to help Israel rebuild the temple, they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim, where they believed Abraham offered Isaac and Jacob's dream occurred. They climbed this mountain often and worshiped, but they did not know what they worshiped. They were enthusiastic in their worship, but without the truth of the gospel. The Jews worshipped in truth, law, but with no spirit. Jesus, who was a Jew, said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Jews understood the truth, but they were cold, legalistic, hypocritical, and ritualistic. They went through the motions of worship, but their hearts were not in it. God is to be worshipped as both Father and Spirit. Spirit is nature. Father is relationship. The issue of worship is not where and when it is done as much as who and how. Jesus dealt with reality in worship, not form of worship. Worship involves who we are as true worshipers and how we truly worship. No longer is worship limited to a specific place like a church building, although we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a corporate body to worship. See Hebrews 10:25a. If you are a true worshiper, you do not have to go looking for God. He is looking for you. God seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Read verses 28 to 42. Worship cannot be based on someone else's experience. The people of Samaria moved into worship because of truth, knowledge, and spirit experience. They came and heard the truth from Jesus themselves. Now that we have examined the circumstances in which our key verses were given, let us discuss in more detail the two requirements for worship, spirit and truth. Spirit, man is a triune being. He is composed of a body which is visible, and an invisible soul and spirit. The soul is the soulish nature of man, the mind, the will, and emotions. The spirit is the spiritual inner man. Your spirit has emotional responses like the soul. Soul and spirit are closely related but are separate. For the Bible tells us the word of God is sharp and can divide them. Here are some other facts about your spirit. God gave your spirit and it returns to him at death. Ecclesiastes 12:7, Isaiah 42:5, Zechariah 12:1. God is the God of the spirits of all flesh. Numbers 27:16. Your own tongue affects your spirit. Proverbs 15:13. You are to be an example of the believers in spirit. 1 Timothy 4:12. In Bible times, the walls around a city were its defense. You are like a city with broken walls if you do not rule your spirit. Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 25:28. God speaks through your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. You are warned to take heed to your spirit. Malachi 2:16. Worshiping in spirit means you worship from the inside out. Paul speaks of serving God with my spirit. Romans 1:9. Isaiah speaks of seeking the Lord with my spirit within me. Isaiah 26:9. David blesses the Lord with all that is within him. Psalm 103:1. You are to glorify God with your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:20. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14:14 to 15. You cannot really worship with your spirit unless it is energized by his spirit. So worshiping in spirit involves the Holy Spirit also. As you worship, God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Romans 8:16. Spirit means more than just inward worship. Since man is a triune being, when you worship with your spirit, you must also worship with the soul and body portions of your triune nature. Truth. The word truth means to uncover, open up, and not hide. In order for something to be true, it must meet three criteria. 1. It must be universal. It must apply to everyone. 2. It must be uniform. It applies to everyone in the same way. The criteria is same for old, young, rich, poor, black, white, etc. 3. It must be unending. This means it is eternally valid. Worship is to be based on truth, which is information gained in meditation, which results from time spent with God in discovery. You must understand why and what you are doing when you worship. If you preach clever sermons that move emotions with a lot of stories and funny things, people may say, "He sure is a good speaker," instead of worshiping God. This is why you must be committed to the expository teaching and preaching of God's word. Truth was stressed in the early church. They continued steadfastly in doctrine, Acts 2:42. Paul told Timothy to read and exhort doctrine, 1 Timothy 4:13. The word of God was emphasized, Colossians 3:16 and 17. When Paul saw the people at Mars Hill worshiping, it was unacceptable because it was not based on true knowledge of God. He said they were ignorantly worshiping, Acts 17:23. If you are going to worship, you must be committed to the word of God, not just some emotional feeling. The reason God requires worship in truth is because, in John 8:44, Satan abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you are going to worship in truth, then you must know what the Bible says is true. This is important because there is a spirit of truth, and a spirit of error operating in the world. The Bible speaks of those who are ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Here is the answer to Pilate's question, "What is truth?" This summary is drawn from all the references on truth in the Bible. 1. God is truth. He lives in truth. His eyes are upon the truth. God's paths are truth. His works are true. His word is true. His counsel is true. His grace is true. He reveals truth. He judges on the basis of truth. His truth is eternal and unlimited. He wants all men to know the truth. He approves your ministry on the basis of truth. He begot you in truth. 2. Jesus is truth. He is truth in the flesh. He is the true light. He is the true bread. He is the true vine. He is full of truth. Truth came by him. It was in him. He is the faithful and true witness. He bore record of the truth. He is the way and the truth. 3. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. 4. The Word is true and God's judgments are based on it. 5. Salvation based on the gospel is true. 6. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Therefore it is true. Ephesians 5:9. 7. The church is to be rooted in truth, the pillar and ground of the truth. 8. The anointing of God is truth, 1 John 2:27. If you are to be a true worshiper, you must not only know the truth, you must respond to it. King Saul and David were both worshipers. When confronted by his sin, David responded by repenting. Saul did not. Saul's worship was unacceptable because of 1. People, because I saw the people. He cared more about what man thought than what God thought. 2. Piety. He was self-righteous, claiming he assumed the prophet's place because it was not scriptural to go to war before praying. 3. Pride. Saul was self-sufficient. Note how he says, "I, myself." You were not here. Saul offered worship when God was asking for repentance, and his worship was rejected. God prefers obedience to sacrifice. Going through the form, no matter how sacred, means nothing if the heart is not right with God. A friend of David's named Ishabel, who was once described as speaking the oracles of God, was also a worshiper. He walked together with David to the house of God. He worshipped in spirit, but he did not let truth change him. He later joined in a rebellion against David. Spirit and truth together. To worship in spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon your redeemed spirit, causing love, adoration, devotion, honor, and respect to ascend to God who is a spirit. To worship in truth is to worship according to the word of God, and to properly respond to the truth of God. Thus, worship in spirit and in truth involves a believer in honoring and adoring God by the quickening of the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are both needed in order for true worship to occur. If the Holy Spirit is not present, then worship is dead and lifeless. If there is no Word, then worship becomes mere emotionalism or ritual. Why we worship? We worship because of example. Scripture is dominated with examples of worship. Exhortation. We are commanded in Scripture to worship. Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. 1 Peter 2:5-9. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Psalm 147:1, the Amplified Version. Praise the Lord, for it is good. Praise is becoming and appropriate. The first commandment is to worship God. Exodus 20:1-5, Psalm 45:11. Your greatest ministry is worship of God rather than working for God. 2 Chronicles 29:11. Now be not negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him. Eternal destiny. You were created to worship, and your eternal destiny is determined by whether or not you worship the true God. The pattern of worship. The pattern of worship includes exalting God, edifying the body of Christ, evangelizing the lost. All three are necessary. The early church followed this pattern. Acts 24:3, 46, and 47. John also emphasized it. John 15:1-11, 12-17, and 18-27. When you exalt, you edify. When you edify, you evangelize. When you evangelize, you edify and exalt. And so the pattern continues. Results of worship. Here are some of the wonderful results of worship. God is glorified. Psalm 50:23. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Seekers are recognized. Seekers are received into the presence of God. Psalm 100:4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3. When you praise him, you build a spiritual tabernacle in which he comes to dwell. Believers are purified. When you come into the presence of God through worship, you are purified. Psalm 24:3-5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Proverbs 27:21. As the finning pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to praise. As you are heated and broken in his presence, the impurities of your life are separated from the precious metal and rise to the surface so you can get them taken care of at the cross. When you spend time in his presence, you are changed. Moses reflected the glory of God upon his countenance. People noticed that the disciples had been with God. Isaiah, a man of unclean lips, was purged by the fire of God. The church is edified. A praising church results in people who are unified, giving, excited, and worshiping at home as well as corporately. Acts 2:42-47. The lost are evangelized. Acts 2:47 records that believers were praising God and that many others were added to the church. If you worship in spirit and in truth, unbelievers coming into your midst will be drawn to God. Preparing for worship. Here is a verse that explains how to prepare your heart to worship. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The call for worship is, let us draw near. As you are drawing near, the checkpoints are sincerity, a true heart, confidence in full assurance of faith, humility, knowledge that you are unworthy other than through the blood, purity, daily washing with the pure water of the Word of God. Types of worship. The Bible speaks of several types of worship. Worship of repentance. Psalm 51 is a wonderful example of the worship of repentance. This is a prayer of David after his sin with Bathsheba. Worship of acceptance. Job had lost his children and his property, yet he worshiped. Job 1, 20 and 21. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Worship of devotion. Read Genesis 22, 1-14. This story of Abraham and Isaac is the greatest example of the worship of devotion. Note that Abraham made worship a priority. He arose early to worship, even though he believed it would cost him his son, that which he loved most. Some of us cannot be bothered to get out of bed early in the morning to worship. We feel it is too great a price to pay. The worship of devotion requires separation to God. Abraham told his servants, "You wait here." True worship demands deliberate separation from distractions. True worship is individual. You will never truly worship until you do it alone in the worship of devotion. The worship of devotion is costly. In Abraham's case, he was asked to give his only son. David said he would not offer to God something which cost him nothing, 1 Samuel 24:24. The worship of devotion denounces selfish desires. The focus is on God alone. To offer the worship of devotion, Abraham had to die to the desire of a son. But Abraham's worship glorified God. Sacrificial worship always brings glory to God. Worship of commitment. For an example of the worship of commitment, see 2 Chronicles 15, 10-15. It is recorded that Israel made a covenant to serve God as they worshiped. Worship of warfare. Basically, there are four areas of attack by your enemy. Satan attacks your worship of God, the Word of God, your Christian walk, and your work for God. Read Psalm 149, 6-9. This is an excellent example of how praise is used as a weapon. Combined with the Word of God, it, 1, executes vengeance upon the heathen. Praise is effective in warfare with those who do not know God. 2, executes punishment. Justice and judgment result from praise. 3, binds their king with chains. We are told to bind demons, then cast them out. 4, binds the noble with fetters of iron. Praise binds the lesser powers of Satan, such as leaders in this world system. 5, executes upon them the judgment written. As you praise, your enemy is judged upon the basis of God's word. There are many other biblical examples of praise and worship serving as a spiritual weapon. Here are some examples. Gideon worshiped before the battle with the Midianites, and he and his men shouted before the battle. Paul and Silas worshiped before they were freed from prison. Jonah worshiped before he was delivered from the fish. When to worship. You should worship daily. Israel praised the Lord day by day, 2 Chronicles 30:21. The New Testament church went from house to house praising God, Acts 2:46-47. Continually, Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified." Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. Luke 24:53. The disciples were in the temple continually praising God. Psalm 84:4 in the Amplified Version. Blessed are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all day long. Ephesians 5:18-20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. After a special manifestation of the Lord, read about the special appearance of God to Abraham in Genesis 12. Read about the manifestation of God to Moses in Exodus 34. When God revealed himself in a special way, people worshiped. On receipt of the promises of God, when Abraham received a special promise from God in Genesis 13:14-18, he responded by worshiping. Upon answered prayer, when Eliezer had his prayers answered, he worshiped, Genesis 24. When granted favor by man, when Eliezer was granted favor by man in Genesis 24:52, he also worshiped God. After a crisis, David worshiped God after the death of his child. This is a true sacrifice of praise. Psalm 27:5 speaks of times of trouble, yet verse 6 speaks of offering sacrifices of joy. David said in Psalm 116:17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 107:22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Praise and worship are not a sacrifice when everything is going well and you feel like praising God. It becomes a sacrifice when everything is going wrong and you still praise him. In times of trial and warfare, through his dark hours of trial and spiritual warfare, Job worshiped God. In everything you do, you are to worship God constantly in everything you do. You do this when you do all for the glory of God. Forever, Psalm 52:9, I will praise thee forever. Where to worship? In the congregation or church, Psalm 22:22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Psalm 35:18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalm 149:1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. In your home, Psalm 149:5 in the Amplified Version, let the saints be joyful in the glory and beauty which God confers upon them. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Before unbelievers, Psalm 43, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 96:2-3, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Before the nations of the world, Psalm 108:3, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Psalm 96:1-3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people.